unprecedented attack on our American democracy, incited by the United States President, and he must be held accountable.
The mayor of Washington, D.C. is just one calling for action against the U.S. President. This is Friday, January 8th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, despite the violence, the U.S. Congress finishes what it started Wednesday. Reaction to the storming of the U.S. Capitol is worldwide. Democrats take control of the U.S. Senate, and we'll take a closer look at new strains of the coronavirus. All of that and more on today's VOA Asia. President Donald Trump says there will be an orderly transition on January 20th now that Congress has concluded the electoral vote count certifying President-elect Joe Biden's victory. Trump issued a statement early Thursday acknowledging his term in office is coming to a close just minutes after Congress certified his loss to Biden. Trump says he totally disagrees with the outcome of the election and claims falsely that the facts bear him out. The final action of the presidential election comes after Trump appeared to excuse the violent occupation of the U.S. Capitol by his supporters Wednesday. Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser placed blame on the U.S. president.
His constant and divisive rhetoric led to the abhorrent actions we saw today. And sadly, it led to a loss of life that will forever stain what could have been and what should have been a peaceful transfer of power.
It was a scene Americans never expected to see in their own country. As a mob pushed into the U.S. Capitol building, Michelle Quinn has the story.
A lawmaker crouching behind a chair praying. Police drawing guns inside the Capitol building, breaking glass, scaling the building, trashing the offices of elected officials. The images ricocheted around the nation on TV, in private chat groups, on social media. It started with a peaceful gathering Wednesday headlined by President Donald Trump to protest the results of the U.S. presidential election. Just a mile away, a joint session of Congress began the process of certifying those results.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved.
Trump suggested protesters walk to the Capitol. As the crowd approached the building, they pushed up against police lines, and their demeanor changed. They forced their way into the building, and lawmakers fled. Seeing protesters in U.S. cities is not unusual. Over the summer, unrest at times turned to violence and destruction. But what happened Wednesday in Washington, D.C. was different. Liam Donovan is a Republican strategist.
What's unheard of is having individuals storming the Capitol, breaking down windows, breaking into offices. That's a shocking thing to witness.
As night fell and Washington fell under a curfew, a stunned nation grappled to understand what led to this unprecedented moment. Jennifer Murcia is an associate professor at Texas A&M University.
We don't know how it ends, and watching the chaos in Washington, D.C. right now, it's hard to know who's in charge.
The Capitol building, the scene of so many historical moments, but nothing like this. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Rattled members of Congress did reconvene Wednesday night to resume counting electoral votes from the November election. Patsy Whitaker-Suera has that story.
Despite thousands of Trump supporters storming into Congress and clashing with law enforcement, lawmakers returned to work Wednesday night to count and certify electoral college votes. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
We will certify the winner of the 2020 presidential election.
Vice President Mike Pence, in his capacity as President of the Senate, reconvened the joint session of Congress hours after it was abruptly evacuated as protesters roamed the building and held standoffs with Capitol Police.
Today was a dark day in the history of the United States Capitol. But thanks to the swift efforts of U.S. Capitol Police, federal, state, and local law enforcement. The violence was quelled.
More than 100 Republican members of the House and 14 Republican senators had initially planned to block certification of electoral votes in six swing states won by Joe Biden. Republican Senator Josh Hawley.
For those who have concerns about the integrity of our elections, those who have concerns about what happened in November, this is the appropriate means.
But following Wednesday's violence, several senators and representatives retracted their objections. Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler.
The events that have transpired today have forced me to reconsider, and I cannot now in good conscience object to the certification of these electors.
From Wilmington, President-elect Joe Biden condemned the violence and delivered a sharp rebuke to Trump.
I call on President Trump to go on national television now to fulfill his oath and defend the Constitution and demand an end to this siege.
Trump tweeted a video calling for calm, but continued his baseless claim that the election was stolen.
It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now.
Twitter and Facebook, for the first time, locked Trump's accounts for posts that violated their policies. Earlier in the day, the president urged supporters to march to the Capitol.
And after this, we're going to walk down and I'll be there with you.
Telling them to get rid of the weak Congress people. Jennifer Mercia teaches presidential rhetoric at Texas A&M University.
He incited the violence. He led them rhetorically, even if he didn't lead them physically.
Despite the chaos, Joe Biden will be inaugurated as the 46th U.S. president on January 20th. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
Reaction to what happened at the U.S. Capitol came from around the world. Reaction from Asia comes your way next. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Authorities in Hong Kong have reportedly charged pro-democracy activist Joshua Wong with subversion under the new national security law. The top U.S. diplomat says sanctions are being considered on those involved in Hong Kong arrests. The number of Chinese incursions into Taiwan's airspace last year was the highest since 1996. Japan declared a limited state of emergency in the capital of Tokyo and three neighboring prefectures Thursday to stem the spread of the coronavirus. Protests over the killing of 11 Shiite Hazara minority coal miners by Islamic State militants on Sunday had spread to other cities in Pakistan. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. China drew comparisons Thursday between the storming of the U.S. Capitol by supporters of President Trump and last year's often violent pro-democracy protest in Hong Kong, but did note that no one had died when demonstrators took over the legislature of the China-ruled city. Clips of the chaotic scenes from Washington aired repeatedly on Chinese state television. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Hua Chengying told a daily briefing that while events in Hong Kong in 2019, when the city's legislature was stormed, were more severe than those in Washington, not one demonstrator died. Hua added, "We also wish that U.S. people can enjoy peace, stability, and security as soon as possible." Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison condemned what he called very distressing scenes in the U.S.
I'm pleased that the Senate has been able to recommence their proceedings, and we hope for a peaceful and stable transition of government to the new administration elected by the American people.
New Zealand's leader, Jacinda Ardern, tweeted, "Democracy, the right of people to exercise a vote, have their voice heard, and then have that decision upheld peacefully, should never be undone by a mob." She added her country's thoughts were with everyone devastated by the events, adding, "What is happening is wrong." In Afghanistan, Kabul resident Faisal Malik said, "It was really unexpected when the educated American people who believe in a democratic society displayed such actions. We saw that the controversies and problems that we faced during our own elections in the past few years, like disagreements and the lack of a transparency for the results, also happened in the United States." Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, a Trump ally who has heaped praise on the outgoing U.S. president in the past, said he was distressed to see news about rioting and violence in Washington. Orderly and peaceful transfer of power must continue, he said, adding the democratic process cannot be allowed to be subverted through unlawful protests. Happening now in Asia, Malaysia reported its biggest daily rise in coronavirus cases Thursday as the government considered imposing restrictions in some areas. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. On the day the U.S. Capitol was attacked, Democrats won control of the U.S. Senate and Congress as a whole after scoring a pair of wins in Tuesday's Senate runoff races that drew the attention of the nation. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports from Atlanta, Georgia, on the consequences for the Biden presidency.
Voters in Georgia delivered control of the U.S. Senate to Democrats.
This is history unfolding in Georgia right now.
As Republican Kelly Loeffler lost to Democrat Reverend Raphael Warnock, who now becomes the first black senator from the state of Georgia.
The improbable journey that led me to this place in this historic moment in America could only happen here.
And Democrat John Ossoff beat Republican Senator David Perdue.
Let's unite now to beat this virus and rush economic relief to the people of our state and to the American people.
This state saw unprecedented turnout for a runoff election, capping years of efforts by Democrats to change a longtime Republican stronghold into a swing state. President Trump's continuing unfounded claims of voter fraud in the state could be one possible factor in that shift.
You don't concede when there's theft involved.
Well, many of the president's supporters did come out to vote here in Georgia. Trump supporter Mark Heiss said the election was too important to miss.
We didn't get our freedom by letting other people come in and run this country like the Democrats are wanting it done.
The president's claims appear to have decreased Republican turnout in the state overall, said Georgia College professor Hank Edmondson.
The president has sown a great deal of confusion in the state with his accusations of a fraudulent process here. And there has been a fear among the Republicans for quite some time that that might depress the Republican turnout.
Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will be the tie-breaking vote in a U.S. Senate led by soon-to-be Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We'll get America moving again.
That marks a crucial shift in power for President-elect Biden, opening up opportunities to partner with Congress to pass his agenda during his first 2 years in office, political strategist Fred Hicks said.
The Senate Majority Leader is really the most important person in Congress. Nothing moves forward without the Senate Majority Leader, and we saw that with Mitch McConnell.
President-elect Biden will take office backed by Democratic majorities in the House and Senate, the first time the party has controlled both chambers in a decade. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Atlanta, Georgia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, Australia urges China to give access to WHO coronavirus experts without delay. Earlier in the week, the head of the World Health Organization said he was very disappointed that China had still not authorized the entry of the team of international coronavirus experts. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. Singapore is on course for its worst recession this year, but pharmaceutical factories have held up during the pandemic. The city-state has become the center for drug makers and has accumulated over 50 factories owned by companies including Pfizer, Roche, GlaxoSmithKline, and Takeda. George Lam, the head of Takeda's Singapore manufacturing site, says the pharma industry has not been negatively affected by the pandemic.
A number of countries, because of the pandemic, are pulling forward their demand for their drugs so that they can get hold of the drugs that can continue to supply to patients in their countries.
Though much attention is focused on developing a vaccine for COVID-19, there has still been a strong demand for medicines to treat illnesses ranging from asthma to epilepsy. Along with the rapid production of pharmaceuticals, Takeda's facilities also manufacture high-tech medical devices such as pacemakers. This has been a much-needed boost after the nation's economy shrank more than 13% in the second quarter when the country introduced severe virus restrictions. As a result, authorities have promoted cutting-edge research to grow the economy by investing roughly $20 billion U.S. dollars in research and innovation for the next 5 years. Milko Company has seen great success in the sales of its dairy products, although that is not the main reason the company's been able to stay afloat in Afghanistan. Since being founded in 2011, Milko has become well-loved throughout the region with dairy products, including flavored milk drinks and ice cream. However, Gami Mia, founder and owner of Milko Company, says by selling its goods to some of the most dangerous towns in the country, such as Zabul, Ghazni, and Lakshar, comes with the price of not only dealing with the government, but also the Taliban.
We have our challenges when we send our products to provinces like Kabul and Helmand. Our cars are stopped on the way and taxed by the Taliban. Now, we pay taxes for both the Taliban and the government.
By cooperating with both forces, this has permitted the company to continue to see success. Ahmed, an employee of Milko Company, explains why the products are so prevalent.
Milko's dairy products are very popular in Kandahar because they are produced in a very clean manner and not imported from other places.
Despite all of the challenges presented, the company is able to employ hundreds of people and offer over 30 products. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
Are my pets safe from coronavirus? There's no current evidence that cats and dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria such as E. coli and Salmonella that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
We return to the U.S. political story. Democrat Raphael Warnock is the projected winner of one of Georgia's two Senate runoffs, becoming the first African-American to be elected to the U.S. Senate in that state's history. Warnock, who defeated Republican incumbent Kelly Loeffler, is a pastor of the Atlanta church where American civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. preached. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo has this profile of Warnock.
Raphael Warnock's projected win Tuesday in one of Georgia's two hotly contested Senate runoff elections makes him the first African-American senator in the southern state's history.
So I come before you tonight as a man who knows that the improbable journey that led me to this place in this historic moment in America could only happen here. We were told that we couldn't win this election. But tonight, we prove that with hope, hard work, and the people by our side, anything is possible.
Warnock's victory is a striking political shift in Georgia, which is traditionally a Republican state. Tuesday's runoff took place as the state and the rest of the nation is struggling to contain the coronavirus pandemic that has claimed nearly 360,000 lives. In his victory speech, Warnock referred to the hardship caused by the pandemic.
And so to everyone out there struggling today, whether you voted for me or not, know this. I hear you
I see you. And every day I'm in the United States Senate, I will fight for you.
His pledge to work for everyone reflects one Warnock's character traits evident throughout his life, says Fred Hicks, an Atlanta-based political strategist.
There was quite a bit of relatability, number one. I think number two, the fact that he is the pastor at Dr. King's church is a reminder, a subconscious reminder to people that he's really a bridge from the civil rights generation to this current generation.
Warnock follows in the footsteps of 10 other African-American senators, starting with Hiram Rhodes Revels of Mississippi, who became America's first black senator in 1870. In modern times, others include Carol Moseley Braun, Tim Scott, Cory Booker, Barack Obama, and Kamala Harris.
He'll have to live up to the legacy of people like Barack Obama, who served in the Senate. And number two, I think that also means there'll be a lot of pressure, because once a black person is elected to the Senate, whether it's Barack Obama or Kamala Harris, people automatically peg you for the next big step that is president.
And in the short term, he faces another challenge, says Emory University's Andra Gillespie.
Probably the biggest immediate challenge for Senator-elect Warnock is the fact that he is filling the unexpired term of Johnny Isaacson, the previous senator. And he's got to run again for office in 2 years. So, you know, the biggest sort of challenge that he has to face is that he's got to immediately set up a campaign to run for re-election.
Warnock was born and raised in Georgia and went to Morehouse College, a historically black men's liberal arts college in Atlanta. He later got a doctoral degree from Union Theological Seminary. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
We continue on VOA Asia. New strains of the coronavirus causing the COVID-19 pandemic have evolved, raising alarms with public health experts. The viruses appear to be more infectious, making them harder to control. But experts say the new vaccines against them should still work. More from VOA's Steve Barragona.
The streets of London have gone quiet again. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson put the nation under lockdown after a new variant of the coronavirus emerged.
It's clear that we need to do more together to bring this new variant under control.
In South Africa, another strain has doctors worried, says University of KwaZulu-Natal epidemiologist Tulio de Oliveira.
It has been dominating almost every infection that we have in the coastal area. This is from Eastern Cape all the way to Cape Town.
The UK strain has spread to at least 39 other countries. The South African variant has turned up in another 9. Both seem to be driving their country's surges in infections. But scientists cannot say for sure yet, says Johns Hopkins University immunologist Andrew Pekosh.
That really needs to be investigated in other countries to see, you know, is this just something that happened in England for a confluence of other reasons? Or is this something that is really specifically associated with this virus? And if it is, then we should be seeing that in other countries.
Okay. The variants do not appear to make people any sicker, but the increase in cases will likely mean more hospitalizations and more deaths, Pekosh says.
If you simply have a virus that can infect more people, then the total number of people go up and all those other parameters go up as well, too.
The new mutated viruses have appeared just as vaccines to fight the pandemic begin to arrive. But the vaccines should still work, says the British government's chief scientific advisor, Patrick Vallance.
When a vaccine is given, you don't just make one antibody against one bit. You make lots of antibodies against lots of different bits. And so it's unlikely that all of that would be escaped by any mutation.
Tests are underway to make sure. Viruses mutate all the time, and the vaccines eventually will need to be updated. But that's easier than ever, Pekosh says.
Particularly these mRNA vaccines have the potential to really quickly be updated to whatever is circulating.
Both the Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna vaccines are this type. If the new strains take over, these vaccines may allow for quick adaptation to an ever-changing virus. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
Thank you for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team that includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Do your best to stay safe and healthy and enjoy the day ahead.